Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Filled Up Podcast. Happy Tuesday after Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, long weekend, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Got all of your sales, caught all of the deals, bought Christmas and birthday gifts for the next couple of months. I didn't do much shopping because I'm trying to be responsible in my old age, and make better financial choices. So obviously there were things that I wanted, but in my mind, I'm like, I got bills to pay. I got other things that need to be taken care of, other priorities. And so all of these deals are going to be these deals at some other point. You can catch them then. It was tough because I am a part of a family of shoppers. My father, my stepmom, who I call mom, my bonus mom, they're shoppers, you know, so they were up not as early as they typically are, and they weren't out as long as they typically are, but they did, you know, get up and get out just to be amongst the people, and did some Cyber Monday shopping yesterday that I helped to facilitate. So it was a good time. I went home to Detroit, got a chance to see family, didn't get a chance to see everybody that I wanted to see, but you know, that's just how it is. I can go home for a week and a half and still not see everybody that I would like to see or that would like to see me. I'm kind of calming down in my old age. another old age thing. I used to be insistent upon going home and making sure I saw everybody and really running myself ragged. And I've just gotten to the place now where I spend time with my family, because what typically happens is my family itself gets shafted. I go home, I sleep in their beds, I eat their food, I drive their cars, and I very rarely spend any time with them. And so, you know, even if it's a situation where we're all collectively sitting in the house, we may not necessarily be doing things together, just being amongst one another in each other's company in the same area, in the same proximity, makes a difference. And so I've really just focused on that. I'm not a house hopper doing Thanksgiving, so I don't try to go to several different homes and collect plates. You know, I kind of just stay in one place, and that's kind of what it was. But I did get a chance to do some things that I normally don't do. I went and visited another church, got a chance to see one of my Morehouse bros preach, which was really good, gave a great message on gratitude, which is something I definitely needed to hear. It was really just about being grateful even when things aren't great, you know? So it was a great message, wonderful message. Coming off the Thanksgiving holiday, going into the Christmas holiday, which is typically a holiday about receive, 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 and a little less about give. So it was great to hear that message. Got a chance to spend some time with family, but what I want to talk about today is just being your authentic self. I've worked really, really hard to be me, you know, and I'm not one of those people who feels like I have a lot of different faces. I am consistently me. Now, obviously, there are degrees. You know, I can't be 100% Phil in all respects, because Phil likes to cuss. And so cuss and Phil can't go everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of altering who I am, I'm past that point in my life where I'm altering who I am. Like, what you see is what you get. I'm still the same comical, sarcastic, punchline, snippy feel, regardless of where I am and who I'm with. You know what I'm saying? Again, there are degrees, because I don't curse in front of my parents, you know. But, you know, prior to going home, I decided to, well, not even prior to going home. The appointment was prior to going home, but I decided that it was time for me to kind of get back into therapy, because there's a lot of things that have changed in 2019. In 2018, going into 2019, I set out this year, like I've said in previous podcasts, with a totally different mindset in terms of relocating and being somewhere different and changing careers. And not that all of that has changed in the sense that I'm not going to do any of those things. It's just, not in the way that I thought I was going to do them. And so I decided it was a good opportunity to get back into therapy and kind of have conversations to kind of make sure that I mentally equip myself for these changes. And one of those things was, I'm in a new relationship, and what that looks like for me, or I'm in a relationship, which is not just new, it's new to me, being in relationship with somebody and being considerate of someone else's feelings in that space. Like, with your friends and family, obviously I feel like I'm a considerate person, but like I've also said in a previous podcast, when you're in a relationship, you gotta up all those things by 10,000, because there are habits that we have and things that we do, not knowing that they read a certain way to certain type of people. And to your friends and family, certain things don't matter, but to a significant other, they may matter a great deal. So I decided it was a good idea to get back in therapy, talk about that, talk about my career, where I think I want to go, you know, just kind of have those conversations. And one of the things that my therapist said was, you know, integrating your partner into the conversation, because I had not had a conversation with my family about being in a relationship. And granted, it's not for everybody. It's not a situation where I feel like I got to be like, hey, everybody, guess what? You know what I'm saying? But if it comes up in conversation, being able to have an honest conversation about, this is where I am. Because it always comes up. People are always asking, so how's your love life? What's going on with your love life? Are you seeing anybody? You know, because that is an authentic part of being an adult. I know when I go back to church, the youth director for many, many years when I was there always asked, how's your love life? And, you know, some people would be like, oh, Georgia, that is not an appropriate question. She was like, hey, he's a young, good looking man. I just want to know. It's a part of life. And so, you know, my therapist was saying it's important to kind of integrate your partner into the conversation, so it doesn't seem like he there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, you plan on him being there, so you know, kind of having a conversation. So obviously, you know, I've talked to a couple of cousins, you know, people that I actually have conversations with outside of family stuff. Definitely had a conversation with my aunt, my mom's sister, because of course she asked, like, any new love in your life? You know, it's one of those type of things. It's like, people always ask the question, not really knowing what to expect. My aunt loves me regardless. And so it's always going to be, her response is always like, wonderful. You know, that's kind of how she responds to it. So it's like, we talked about my boyfriend and it was cool. So, you know, me and my dad were on my way back to, or going to the airport. He was dropping me off at the airport. And, you know, he was asking me about therapy and asked me if I still saw my therapist. And I was like, yeah, you know, I just started back because, you know, hey, I wanted to talk about relationships. I wanted to talk about my career, different things, you know, because I'm trying to figure out and find out this segue, because I haven't had a lot of personal alone time with my dad while I'm home. Like I said, we've done a lot of stuff around the house and I've been there, but, you know, we hadn't had an opportunity to kind of just have a conversation. He had asked about lunch earlier and I should have been like, yeah, let's go. Because that would have been great. But I didn't take him up on the opportunity. I just ate food at the house because, hey, it was free. And so we were having a conversation and he was like, well, anybody in your group of friends single, you know? And I was like, well, you know, Andromeda seeing somebody, Jennifer seeing somebody. You know, I was just kind of rattling off friends that were kind of involved. And I was like, well, why'd you ask that question? He was like, well, because you were talking about relationships. And I was like, you know, this is your opportunity. So I'm like, well, I'm actually seeing someone. And he's like, a woman? I was like, no. And he was like, so that's pretty much out of the question, huh? I was like, yeah. And so it's interesting because in that space, I feel like I shrunk. I feel like a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really look at him. I kind of looked out the window. And it was just crazy because I am me. I'm boisterous. I'm outspoken. I'm loud. But in that moment, I just felt myself like shrivel up. Like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it wasn't a third degree or anything like that. He did ask a question that I thought was interesting. And he was like, well, how do you reconcile that and your brothers? And I was like, well... And, you know, this is the crazy thing, because this is a question that has plagued me for years, because I know that our actions are not singular. And I know that sometimes things that we do, or a lot of times things that we do, affect other people. So part of my coming into my own, becoming more comfortable with myself, was asking myself the question, how would my being gay affect my brothers? You know, is it a situation where our relationship would be tarnished or changed? Like, I think about that because they're my younger brothers and they're my babies. And like, I know they grown. We're 9 and 12 years apart. But, you know, like I literally saw them grow and they were born. And so I just have a different connection to them than I think. I won't say most people. I guess it just depends on the length of time. Or the gap in age between you and your siblings. But like, I really do feel like they're like mine. Like I feel like I'm ultra protective of them and their feelings and their emotions, and I try to be very sensitive to that. And even when I have to give that dose of this is hard, big brother, trying to make sure that you don't fuck up your life in this world, it's still very, you know, it's with a spoonful of sugar, no lie. You know what I'm saying? And so I've thought about that for years, like what would be the effect? You know, they're grown now. I guess it's less of an effect because now everybody live their own life and we live in different places. But, you know, I've thought about that, you know, what they would think and how they would react. You know, do they have gay friends, you know, or is it a situation where they create this separation between themselves and gay people? I really don't know, because one, I'm not home. And I haven't been home for years. So there's a lot of developmental stuff that I missed. So, you know, at this point, they are who they are. They're, you know, not to say that they can't change if they're intolerant. I just don't know. And so when he said that question, it really kind of shook me. It jolted me, because there's part of me that cares about how they feel. But there's also a part of me that realizes that everybody has to live their authentic life. And I should not be bound to live life a certain way because of how it may affect them. I guess I feel like I've done enough good. I've set enough good examples that, and I this is interesting because the language is crazy, because I don't feel like being gay is wrong. I know how society looks at it, and I know how we're indoctrinated in terms of religion to look at it, but I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm being who I am. You know, there are periods of time in my life where if I would have had a choice to change things, I absolutely would have. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no shame in saying that. But you come to a point where you like, this shit ain't changing. Like, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done all of the things that people say that I need to do in order to be this changed person, and ain't nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? So this is who I am. So you go through that stage, and then you just learn to accept who you are, and then you make a choice. Okay, am I going to be who I am authentically, or am I going to try to pretend that I'm something that I'm not so that other people are happy? And I'm past that point in my life, but I guess in that moment, you know, I was like, oh, yeah. Because I was like, you know, I was like, my brothers aren't crazy. I'm pretty sure that they've come to their own conclusions about different things. I'm a 33-year-old man who's never brought a girlfriend home, who don't even talk about girls with them. So I'm pretty sure they've probably come figure some things out. Don't know if they listen to my podcast or not, so there you go, there's other things. It just wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't worth sitting down having a conversation like, hey, this is what's what, you know. And I figured that when someone significant came along and it was time to meet that particular person in order to prepare them for that, it'd be like, hey, I want you to be shocked when I bring somebody home. And it's like, oh, this isn't who I expected. So we would have a conversation at that point, but we're not there yet. I think we're getting there, but we're not there yet. So I basically was like, you know, my hope is I'm still me. Like, I'm still Philip. I'm still Big Brother. Nothing has changed in terms of my personality or my character. I just love someone who is more like me than a little bit. And so it was just interesting. So it's funny because, you know, I was having this conversation with a couple of friends, and I was like, I don't, like, it's just crazy. Like, I can't wait to get back to therapy to kind of dissect this. You know, I think that, I don't think it came as a shock. I just think that my dad, like many parents, there's still this hope that your child is going to live the life that you've kind of predestined in their head. And I guess I couldn't be further from that life. Loving another man or being in relationship with another man. But I mean, it's not, there's no anger, there's no animosity. Obviously, we continue to have conversation. We continue to laugh and joke throughout the rest of the night via text message. So we're cool. I just envisioned the conversation going down a little differently than it did. And so it kind of jolted me a bit. But I mean, you know, of course I'm going to be okay. Obviously, we're probably going to have some follow-up conversation about this. And that'll be cool. I guess I just want to say, you know, no matter how open you are, no matter how much you love self, you know, there's you still encounter these moments in life that kind of set you back a bit, and I don't want you to be shook by those. You know, everybody has a vision or a plan for your life. Everybody does. Your mama, your daddy, your grandparents, your relatives, your brothers, sisters, everybody has what they think they want to see. You know, I mean, because people do that. We vision out other people's lives. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I definitely have a vision for my brothers in terms of them being successful. Jamal wanted to play baseball, so I wanted him to be a famous baseball player. You know, I had that vision for him because that's something that he said he wanted to do. Jordan wants to be an author, so I have that vision for him that he's going to be this world-renowned Pulitzer Prize winning author because that's what he wants to do. So I don't think it's any different that you imagine your brother or your sister is with this fly spouse that you like, and that, you know, I know Jamal wants to be an uncle, so he wants me to have kids, and, you know, like, he's excited about that, and he talked to me about that years ago. So everybody has this vision, and then you do something that changes that vision. You know, you don't go to the college that they thought you were going to go to. You don't major in the program. You don't work the career. You don't have the spouse that they thought that you were going to have. And so that changes things. But, you know, we have to come to a place. We all have to come to a place where we say, my authentic life is mine and mine to live. And I can't worry about how you vision my life. And I can't allow that to detract from the life that I envision for myself. You know, so yes, there are probably going to be more awkward conversations about, you know, who I'm dating and who I am, but it's par for the course. It's a learning experience, and I guess the thing about it is just getting to a place where it's normal so that someone isn't shocked. You know, I know that this whole idea of coming out to people is tough, and a lot of people don't feel like they have to, or that they're obligated to. And I don't feel like you're obligated necessary, but I want to say is that, you know, both sides of the coin take a little patience, so just make sure that you enlist some of that. You know, as long as it takes you to be comfortable to have these level of conversations with people, you know, it does take people time to adjust. And I don't think that that's a problem. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think that, you know, there's this grave sin by just giving someone an opportunity to adjust. Doesn't mean you stop being you, but just be cognizant that, you know, sometimes people's dreams have to die. You know, sometimes their visions of your life have to change and be altered. And that's okay, you know? So, this was a lesson that I wasn't expecting to learn this past trip. I won't say I avoided the conversation. It wasn't worth calling a press conference for when the opportunity presented itself. I'm actually proud of myself that I basically said, hey, I am in relationship with somebody, you know? And, you know, I'm sure that more questions are going to ensue. And so when those questions ensue, I'll be able to, you know, I guess formally introduce this person to him, my partner to him, and be like, hey, this is who he is, and this is what he does, and this is how things are. And, you know, I'll get on that road of meeting and kind of incorporating him into the fold. Anyway, that's it for Tuesday. I think that's heavy enough. Love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. it's hard to believe that I have been doing this consistently since April. Like, it's probably the most consistent I've ever been in a project or an endeavor. And I'm really proud of myself. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Thanks for supporting me. Thanks for telling other people about it. Continue to do that. And when you get an opportunity, rate and rank and review, so that people who are not in our inner circle, people who aren't already co-hosts, can become co-hosts. I have no idea what I'm going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks because it's towards the end of the year, but I'll figure out something. Maybe I'll come up with a thing. I don't want to make any promises, so don't hold me to that. But anyway, hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful work week. Today is my Monday, so I'm already feeling it, but I'm going to make the most out of it. Anyway, peace.